Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We also have a very extensive website we'd like you to look at, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find these radio programs and MP3 files. You'll also find Bible videos, 30 minutes in length, with many various topics and a host of other Bible-related study material. We ask you to give a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We want nothing from you but to look and examine your life with God and your need for God, that we might show you that you need to have a relationship with God because His Son died for your sin. We have been looking at this month the subject of what claim does the Bible make for itself? And the question is that it claims that it is a book of inspiration. The Bible is a book of inspiration. Now, being a book of inspiration, we began by looking at the Old Testament claim. And we want to conclude that first point this morning by showing that we have proven through our study that the men of God claimed to speak as God directed them. Number two, that the law given by Moses was actually given by God. And number three, the New Testament says the Old Testament was inspired. So by these three points, we have proved the first claim that the Old Testament came from God, therefore it was inspired. Let's begin this morning by looking at the second point. That is the New Testament claim. The New Testament claims that it also is inspired and that it came from God. First, Jesus spoke the authority of the Scriptures. Let us see if that indeed is so. Did Jesus speak the authority of the Scriptures? In John 10, verse 35, if he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the Scripture cannot be broken. That is a quote from Psalms 82 and verse number 6, called a law in verse 34, Scripture in verse 35. It cannot be broken. It cannot be loosed. It can't be undone. This is an affirmative of the authority of the Scripture. If this is a casual statement from the Old Testament, it is authoritative, so is all the rest. When Jesus affirmed that the Scripture cannot be broken, he did not mean it cannot be transgressed or violated. If so, there would be no sin in the world. But we know that's false from passages like Romans 3:23 that all have sinned. And 1 John 1, verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we're a liar and the truth is not in us. Rather, his point is that the Scripture cannot be loosed or undone. This is an affirmative argument of the authority of the Scriptures. If this is casual, then it is not authoritative, but it is authoritative. In Matthew 5, verse 18, for surely I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law until all is fulfilled. The jot is the smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The tittle is a projection from a letter to distinguish it from another letter. Like we would say, dot the I and cross the T. What's the point? The point is all the Scriptures are true, they are reliable, down to the smallest detail. The Lord is making that point. The Scriptures are true and reliable down to the slightest detail that is recorded in the Scripture. Thus, we see that the Scriptures are authoritative because they came from God and not from men. Jesus spoke of the need to fulfill the Scriptures. In Mark 14, verse 49, the Scripture must be fulfilled. John 13, 18, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. John 17, verse 12, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. Matthew 26, 31, announces all will stumble, for it is written in Matthew 26, 54, had the power to escape, but how would the Scripture be fulfilled? and John 15:25, that the word might be fulfilled. Jesus often spoke of the need for the scriptures to be fulfilled. If the scriptures had to be fulfilled, they are from God and not from man. And so what we see is that God spoke that these things had to be fulfilled because they had been spoken earlier by God through his prophets. Now, we also believe that Jesus believed that the Old Testament stories were not fiction, were not legend, were just not folklore, but they were fact and they were not fiction. And he endorsed some of the following stories. We could give many examples, but we want to just give a few. Number one, creation. He validated the story of creation and the scripture authority of creation in Matthew 19:4. He said, have you not read from the beginning? The beginning of what? The beginning of time. When was marriage instituted? In the beginning of time, in creation, after God created the heavens and earth and created Adam and Eve and instituted the relationship of marriage. In Matthew 24:37-38, he talked about as in the days of Noah and the flood. The days of Noah and the flood in Genesis 6-9. That was not a legend. That was not myth. That was a fact. And Jesus confirms that by quoting and talking about it in Matthew 24:37-38. The judgment of Sodom and being destroyed for its ungodliness. Jesus mentions that in Matthew 11:24. What about Lot's wife? Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt, Luke 17:32. He confirms that was an actual biblical event, not a myth, not a story. And then Jonah and the great fish, the sign of Jonah, Matthew 12:40. All these things are endorsed by the Son of God, showing that they weren't myth, they weren't legend, they weren't just fairy tales, they were actual events that took place in the Old Testament. And so Jesus spoke of the authority of the scriptures. He spoke that the scripture had authority because it came from God and not from men. Then he makes the argument, the scripture makes the argument in the New Testament, the apostles and New Testament writers claim to speak from God. Now let us examine the fact that the apostles and New Testament writers made the same claim that the Old Testament writers did, that they spoke as God directed them. Let's look at a few passages. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says, what says? The Spirit says. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, who is God. 2 Peter 3:15-16. Paul's writings are called scripture by Peter. In Ephesians 3:3-5, the apostles and prophets were guided by the Spirit. When we read it, we can understand it, and we can have the same understanding as the writer who gave it to us. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he commended the Thessalonians because they received the word not as the words of men, but in truth as the words of God. In John 16:13, Jesus promised the disciples that the Spirit would guide them into all truth, and indeed he did. And in Galatians 1:11-12, the Apostle Paul made the affirmative argument. The gospel was not received from men. He did not go to men to receive it, but he got it from God. He didn't confer with the other apostles. He got it from God. And in 1 Corinthians 14:37, Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, I write the commandments of the Lord. He didn't write the commandments of Paul. He didn't write the commandments of men. He wrote the commandments of God. And so the apostles and New Testament writers claim to speak from God. They claim that their authority and their words and their thoughts came from God and not from men. Let's look at some main New Testament passages that touch on this theme. We want to discuss three of them before we close this morning. In 2 Timothy 3:16-17, a scripture that you should be very familiar with, the Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped to every good work. Notice scripture, all are inspired. All are God-breathed. All scripture is given by God. All scripture is inspired. That means all of it, both Old and New Testament. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 18, for the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his hire. That was first given in Deuteronomy 25 and verse 4. That's the scriptures. And then it is also repeated in Luke 10 and verse 7 to include both Old and New Testament, which means that these writings or oracles were both from God and not from men. All scripture includes both Old and New Testament. All includes everything inspired, God-breathed, not the effect that it had on the one who reads it, but it was inspired and God-breathed by the one who gave it. But one of the most important passages that we need to examine in discussing the inspiration, especially of the New Testament, is contained in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9. And we will close here this morning. The scripture says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. Now, verse 9 says, men did not know the mind of God. You know, I can look at the world, and I can look at the trees and the oceans and the mountains and the beauty, and I can know there is a creator. I can know there's a God, but that doesn't tell me about God's character. I wouldn't know that unless it would be revealed to me, and it would have to be revealed by God. Verse 10 said, God revealed himself through the Spirit. It is the Spirit that he sent upon the apostles to guide them into all truth. Verse 11 is an illustration. No one knows your mind unless it's revealed. You wouldn't know what I'm thinking right now unless I revealed it to you. We would not know the mind of God unless it had been revealed to us. And verse 12 and 13, they spoke words not of man's wisdom, but what the Holy Spirit taught. And then verse 13, these things we also speak, not in the words of man's wisdom, but what the Holy Spirit teaches. So what do we learn? We learn that the New Testament was God's revealed word through the inspired writers. God revealed his mind through their writings. And so when you read Timothy, when you read Matthew, when you read James, when you read Romans, you're not looking at the words of the writers, Luke or Paul or Peter. You're looking at the words of God that were directed by the pen of those men by the Holy Spirit. They have a thus saith the Lord behind it. So when you argue with the teachings of Peter or Paul or James or Matthew, you're not arguing with those men, you're arguing with God. Because those thoughts, those words, and those teachings came from God and not from men.